是2020年8月5日星期三，我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Charanprabhu 为我们继续讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Greeting today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service.
今天我们继续来学习永恒的其他两经虚其他两条小木甲玛迪亚利拉中篇逍遥的第22章奉爱服务的程序。
Speaking this morning from Sri Mayapur Dham.
今天我们是在 Sri Mayapur Dham 给大家直播。
We're going to hear Lord Chaitanya teaching Sanatan Goswami about the practices of devotional service today.
那今天我们继续来聆听 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatan Goswami 的教导。今天要讲的这个主题是奉爱服务的践行。
Practices of devotional service means what devotees should do every day to begin to learn how to serve Krishna.
那奉爱服务的践行就是意味着奉献者每天应当做些什么，以此来学习如何对 Krishna 做奉献服务。
Last week we gave different analogies, given different example what actually it means to enter the practice of devotional service.
我们给大家举了一些不同的例子，知觉的奉爱服务意味着什么？
Such as recovering from amnesia.
比如说呢，就是从这个健忘中恢复回。
And trying to remember what we used to do before, what it was like.
然后呢，就试图去记忆之前我们做了些什么，以前做的那些事情都是怎样的。
Now, we are conditioned by.One very strong material element.
那么有一种物质的这个元素一直深深地束缚着我们。
And that element is the time factor.
这个就是时间这个因素。
The element of time in the creation of the material universe is what gives a beginning, a middle, and an end.
那在物质宇宙的这个创造之中，这个时间的这个因子就赋予了我们开始、中间以及结束。
Which means that nothing is meant to last.
也就是说，在这个物质宇宙当中，没有什么是可以持续长久的。
And spiritual life is completely the opposite.
而灵性的生命却正好相反。
In spiritual life, there is no time factor.
在灵性的生命当中没有时间这个因子。
There's no beginning, there's no middle, there's no end.
没有开始、中间和结束。
It just goes on continuously.
就是一直不断的持续。
So being in the material world means we are constantly going to experience, temporary situations.
那换句话说，只要是身在这个物质世界的话，就会一直的经历着这种短暂的状况。
But what is it that experiences temporary situation?
那究竟对于这种物质的转转的状况的体验是什么呢？
Obviously, it's not the soul, it's the body.
那是我们的灵，是我们的躯体在经历的转战，一定不是灵魂在经历着。
So we are limited by the body, the mind, and the senses.
所以呢，我们是被我们的躯体、感官以及我们的心意所束缚着。
Because we are limited by time.
因为我们被时间的这个因子所局限。
And especially because we live in the age of Kali, time is very restricted.
特别是因为我们是生活在这个卡利年代、铁器年代，所以呢，这个时间更是备受局限的。
If people are lucky, they live for 100 years.
那么比如说一个人他比较幸运的话，他可能可以活上100岁。
As you know, in China, there is a big emphasis on longevity.
比如说我们中国人是非常强调长寿的。
The peaches.
我们经常知道有这个寿桃。
The long noodles.
还有这个生日的时候吃那个长寿面。
Chinese would kill me if they see me cooking noodles.
要是中国人看到我做这个面条的话，恐怕得把我杀了。
Because I always break them to pieces.
因为我总是喜欢把这个面条把它弄得很碎。
Otherwise, they don't mix with the vegetables properly.
因为我觉得这个面条太长了的话，没有办法跟这个蔬菜混合得很好。
I saw one man making noodles, fresh noodles.Outside a restaurant in Beijing, those noodles were at least 2 meters long.
我曾经有一次在这个北京的一家餐馆的这个外面看到有人在那儿现场的做那个面条，这个面条做出来至少得有2米长。
So these noodles, long noodles, are very, very sacred to the Chinese people because they represent longevity.
对中国人来说。这样的这个这么长的这种长寿面或者那种一根面是非常的重要的，因为它是长寿的代表。
So I was thinking about these things of longevity yesterday.
昨天我也想到了这个长寿的这个话题。
And I was wondering why do people want to live a long life?
我经常在想，我在想的一个问题就是说，人们为什么总是想着延年益寿？
If you are going to push for longevity and you want to stay healthy so you can live to a very long old age and use the old age to cultivate wisdom and cultivate spiritual life, then it's fine. This is recommended by the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那如果说呢，你一直想的是延益寿，长命百岁，然后你想活到老，然后用这个老年的这个时光去增加自己的智慧。去增进这个灵性的生活，那是非常好的。连圣典国家晚餐也是推荐这一点的。
And if you are an old man or an old woman and you are very wise, this is the perfect time to share your wisdom with the younger people.
当你活到年事已高的时候，不管你是男人还是女人，然后你具备了好多灵性的这个智慧，然后你就可以跟那些年轻人去分享，那是非常好的。
But imagine being old, eating lots of long noodles throughout your life, and then get to old age and being sick all the time and suffer.
但是你要想象一下，你这辈子每年或者说经常都在吃那个长寿面，然后一直吃到老。但是呢，老的这个病殃殃的，一直每天都在这种病痛的折磨当中，那是一种什么样的景象
？And so many people are in that situation. They suffer, but they still want to stay alive, and they still want to live an old age.
现在有好多人就是这样子的。虽然呢，这个非常的痛苦，但是呢，他们依然是想着要活得长一点，再活得再长一点。
So what's the reason for this?
那为什么他们有这样的一种心理呢
？Because everyone aspires to live eternally.
因为其实每个人呢，都想永恒。
It is not the body who wants to live eternally; it's the soul.
这种永恒的这种愿望，并不是来自于躯体的，而是来自于灵魂。
This is a very, very important point that we face every day, but we don't think about.
这一点非常的重要。虽然我们每天都就是都在面对这一点，但是都已经熟视无睹了，我们都不会仔细的去思考。
Prabhupada told us the story that he had a friend in Calcutta.
Prabhupada 曾经说过这样的一故事，他有一个朋友在加尔各答。
Who had a terminal disease.
他就得了一个绝症。
And he was begging the doctor, he said, I'll give you any amount of money if you can just give me 5 more years.
然后呢，他就一直在求这个医生说，只要让他再活上5年的话，他什么都可以给 这些医生、医院。
Because I need those 5 more years to finish certain things I have started.
因为呢，我有一些事情呢还没有完成，我需要这5年的时间来把它完成。
The doctor says, "Sorry, I can't give you 5 years."
医生说呢，很抱歉，我没有办法再让你延长5年的生命。
I give you 2 weeks maximum.
最多也就是2个星期吧。
So we all hanker to never die.
所以呢，我们每个人都有这样一种。就是永恒不死的愿望。
And this is the language of the soul within the body.
但这个其实是困在这个躯体当中的灵魂的语言。
But as far as the body, the mind, and the senses are concerned, they cannot last. They are built not to last.
至于我们的这个躯体啊、心意啊和这个感官啊，本身就是没有办法持续长久的。当它创造出来的时候。它就已经是短暂一世的。
As people often joke, just like everything that's made in China.
就像很多人他们开玩笑的一样，就像是中国制造。
When you buy something on Taobao, it looks very fresh, very new, it looks perfect. But you know at some point it will break down to the point where you still have it completely, but you can't use it. So then you have to buy something new.
但是大家都喜欢拿这个中国制造来开玩笑，就比如说你在淘宝上买一样东西，这个样子特别的漂亮，无可挑剔，然后呢，你就可以去用它，但是用不了多久的话呢，看上去还是那个样子，还是漂亮的，还是崭新的，但是已经用不了了，完全没有了原来的功能，所以你就不得不重新再去买。
Therefore, for anyone who has any common sense, it is foolish to be attached to something that's going to be taken away.
所以说呢，只要稍有常识的人就能明白这个道理。如果说你总是去这种痴迷于一种不可能长久的东西、短暂一时的东西，那是一种愚蠢。
The principle of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that one.Who has been given this human form of life must take advantage of it by inquiring about the absolute truth.
那圣点伯迦瓦坛呢？他给予人们的告诫就是说，一个人一旦是得到了这个灵性的这个躯体的话，就应当要去追寻这个有关绝对真理的这个知识，要好好的去利用这个短暂的物质躯体。
And in order to do that, one must remain healthy.
那要做到这一点的话呢，还是要保持身体的健康。
So here is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to explain that the process of devotional service is to train the body and the soul to begin to serve Krishna again.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里说的这个要点呢，就是重新的对这个躯体和这个心意进行一个训练，让他们重新恢复对 Krishna 的奉爱服务。
And when the reason why I mentioned the time factor is because on the spiritual platform, time does not exist.
为什么我要在这里提到时间的这个因子呢？因为在这个灵性的这个层面上是不存在着时间这个因素的。
So when we put things into perspective, we hear from Shastra that we've been in this material world.Since time immemorial means we can't even remember.
那就是说呢，在从经典当中我们读到，就是我们这个时间呢，它其实就是说，这是时间是给予了我们的一个永恒的一个情景，就是since time immemorial.
Yes.
Sorry, 我再等一下。
You see, you forget.
Yeah,
That's the whole idea.
你看我现在就忘记了。
That's the time.
这个记忆就是这样。我们之所以会遗忘呢，会健忘呢，就是因为时间的因子对我们的影响。
Krishna Premi is experiencing amnesia.
对，我现在就是属于一种这个健忘的一种状态，突然间就忘记了，或者是走神了。这个就是时间的因素的影响。
It's been such a long time that we don't remember.
因为所以我们失去这种记忆呢，已经是非常非常的长久了。
However, when we become Krishna conscious, it's like we just fell asleep for a fraction of a moment.
当我们恢复了 Krishna 知觉的时候，就好像是我们之前在一瞬间睡着了。
And we had a bad dream.
然后我们做了一个噩梦。
You know, sometimes you're tired, and then you just close your eyes for just a few moments, and in these few moments that you close your eyes, you have a dream.
这个就好像有的时候你身体非常的疲惫了，然后呢，你就睡了，就但是就睡了一小会儿，但是就是在那一小会儿之间呢，你也做了一个梦。
And then you wake up and you wonder, wow, what happened? I just had a dream. It was a bad dream.
然后你就醒过来了，意识到到底发生了什么？原来我做了一个梦，还是一个噩梦。
So these few moments of closing your eyes, these are the time immemorial.Spent in the material world.
那么所以说呢，就是你在那一瞬间，大概几秒钟、几分钟的那个睡眠的时间，睡过去的那个时间，就好比是我们在物质世界所经历的这个时间，但是对我们来说呢，也就是说是从无法追溯的这个时间开始的，是永恒的。
So entering into the process of devotional service is when you gradually open your eyes and begin recovering.
当我们进入着灵性的这个服务当中的时候呢，就好像是说你开始意识到了，你睁开了眼睛，然后你开始恢复起来了，恢复了原来的记忆。
That's why last week we read this verse where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained there are two types of devotional service. One is regulated.And one is spontaneous.
那就所以说呢，上周我们就读到了这个奉爱服务有两种，一种呢是属于规范性的休息的活动，然后还有一种呢是属于自然自发的一种奉爱服务。
One is called sadhana bhakti, regulated devotion. The other one is called raga nuga bhakti.Means spontaneous devotion.
一种就被称为 sadhana bhakti， 指的是规范的奉爱服务；还有一种就是 raga nuga bhakti， 就是自然而发的奉爱服务。
And it's actually very interesting when you think about it, is that when we all become attached to the object of the senses, our attachment is very impulsive. It's very spontaneous.
其实当我们被这个感官的对象所吸引的时候呢，这其实是一种非常冲动的一种状态。换句话说，就是你也可以说它是一种非常自然的一种沉迷，就一种自然而然的被吸引。
We get all excited about it.
而且呢，就会非常的兴奋。
And then we lose the taste and we just use the object of the senses very mechanically.
然后呢，但是呢，这个好景不长，马上就失去了这个兴趣，然后但是呢，你依然是一种非常机械的这种方式在使用着或者运用的这个感官的对象。
But in spiritual life, we begin with very little taste.
但是呢，在灵性的这个生活当中呢，正好是相反，一开始的时候没有太多的品味。
So we do things mechanically.
所以一开始做这个事情的时候啊，就是说灵修就好像有一些机械。
But because the object of the senses that we use in Krishna's service are not mechanical and they're not dead matter, then gradually we wake up to spontaneity.
但是呢，因为我们这个感官的对象被我们运用到奉献服务中的这一切，它并不是机械的，也不是死物，就是没有生命的这个事物。所以呢，久而久之的话，你的这种品味呢，就逐渐的苏醒了，就培养起来了。
There is only one example in this material world that Prabhupada often quotes.
在这个物质世界当中呢，只有一种情况是Prabhupada经常说到的。
He says, if we want to know.If we want to get an idea of what is unconditional love for Krishna, the closest example that we will have in a material world is the love of mother for a child.
释迦牟尼佛他说，如果我们要在物质世界里面寻找一个没有不讲任何条件的这种爱的这样一个比喻的话，那么就是母亲对孩子的这种爱，也就是母爱，它是不讲任何条件的。
There's nothing automatic in the behavior of a mother. Everything is spontaneous.
就是作为母亲来说，她所有的这个感情的表达，她所有的这个行动都是自然而发的。
So this is the stage we want to reach.
哦，这个也就是说我们要达到的一种境界。
So now what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to present to Sanatan Goswami is the different steps that the devotee needs to take in order to purify the body, the mind, and the senses.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 现在要给 Sanatan Goswami 所接下来要解释的就是在这个过程当中要一步一步的经过哪些阶段，这样呢才能够把这个躯体、感官和心意都到这个净化。
So these steps are all mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction.
那么这些不同的阶段都是在教会的纲录当中讲到。
There are 64 steps or 64 items of devotional service.
这个风爱服务大概是有64步。
And out of those, we will mention there are 5 most important.
那么这是在风爱的纲录里面讲到这64种的其中呢有5种是最重要的。
But the very, very first one is the one that will give life to all the others.
但是在这五种当中呢也有一种就是它是最重要的，它赋予了其他的所有的生命。
Please be attentive.
现在请大家认真地听好。
Guru Parashraya Diksha Guru Rasevana Sad Dharma Shiksha Prishta Sadhu Margu Danugamana. On the path of regulated devotional service, one must observe the following items. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to list 5 items. 1. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. 2. One must accept initiation from him. 3. One must serve him. 4. One must receive instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. And 5. One must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the direction given by the spiritual master.
在这里就是说到呢，在规范的奉爱服务的道路上，人应当要去遵守以下的这几项。第一是必须要接受一位真正的灵性导师，二是必须要从这位灵性导师那里接受启迪，第三是必须要服务灵性导师，第四呢，就是必须从灵性导师那里去接受训示。并且寻隐于难，以此来学习奉爱服务。第五是一个人应当要遵循，去遵循以往的 acharya， 就是历代先师们的步伐，去遵循灵性导师的指导。
Finish.
Yes.
Okay. So these are the very first 5 items that the devotee.Or a new person must keep in mind if one is sincere and serious enough about taking the path of bhakti yoga.
所以呢，一个新人如果他是非常真诚的要踏上 bhakti yoga 风雅瑜伽的这个道路的话，那么这五点呢，就是必须是铭记在心的。
Now, you will find that in all spiritual paths.You may have to go through the same process. You have a teacher, you have a student, and there's a certain service attitude, there's a certain reciprocation that takes place.
那就是你可能在其他的这些灵修的道路上，那些法门当中也可以看到这样的一个程序。你必须要拜在某一个师父的这个门下，然后呢，你也要就是去服务于他，然后你有相互之间呢有一些互动。
But in this particular case, we're talking spiritual energy.
那有这种情感的交流，但是在这个世界当中，我们讲的是一种灵性上的能量。
Because the spiritual master is the external representative of Antarjami, the super soul.
因为灵性导师呢是这个超灵的外在代表
，Who is the representative energy of Lord Balaram, whom we have just celebrated the appearance.
它也是 Balaram 的能量的一个代表。那主 Balaram 的显现我们刚庆祝过。
And Lord Balaram means naturally Lord Nityananda also.
那我们说到了主 Balaram 的话，那很自然的话呢，也就是主尼天南达。
So accepting the Guru is the direct connection with Krishna.
所以接受一个 Guru 的这个指导呢，相当于就是和 Krishna 的一种直接的连接。
So accepting bona fide. Now bona fide Guru means.A spiritual master who is situated in a disciplic succession, and that disciplic succession is connected to Krishna.
那在这里呢，第一条当中说到了是真正的灵性导师，正统的灵性导师，指的就是说他是在一条这个使徒的传系里面的，然后这个传承是一直可以上溯到 Krishna 那里，也就是说这个传承是跟 Krishna 直接连接的。
If you happen to meet someone who present themselves as a spiritual master, the first question to ask them is, "Do you have a disciplic succession?"
如果说你遇到一个人的话，那么他自称是一位灵性导师的话，那你第一个要问他的问题是你是否有一个师徒传承。
If they say yes, you say, well, is your disciplic succession connected to Krishna?
那如果说他们说是的话，那你再询问说你这条传承是不是和 Krishna 连接的。
If they say no, you say, well, goodbye.
如果他们说不是的话，那你就跟他说再见。
We are eternally related to Krishna, and therefore we want to approach a spiritual master who will connect us to Krishna.
我们原本就是和 Krishna 永恒的连接在一起的，所以我们希望呢，也能够跟这样的一个灵性导师连接，他是直接和 Krishna 连接的。
So then there is a process of initiation.
那接下来就是一个启迪的程序。
Which means that initiation actually means beginning. To initiate means to begin.
那启迪这个字呢，英文里叫 initiation， 它的意思就是说开始一个起步。
It's only starting the process.
只不过是这个程序的开始而已。
And throughout the culture of accepting a spiritual master in our line of disciplic succession, there's been different ways that the initiation is given.
那么在这个我们的师徒传承当中，就像灵性导师接受这个启迪，他也有这种不同的方式。
The main initiation is known as Shiksha.
那么这个启迪呢，它有不同的这个含义。其中一种启迪呢，就是最重要的就是 Shiksha， 也就是说是一种训示。
Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now is teaching Sanatan Goswami.This is a Shiksha initiation.
就比如说现在是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在教导 Sanatan Goswami， 那这样的一种启迪呢，就是被称为 Shiksha。
But there is also what we know as Diksha.
但是呢，还有一种启迪叫做 Diksha。
Which is to formulate vows.
那么就是说你要去立誓、宣誓。
And to formally accept one spiritual master.
然后就是正式的去接受一个人为自己的灵性导师。
So the aspiring disciple will formulate some vows, and then the guru will also take some vows.
所以呢，在这个时候呢，一个启迪的一个候选人，这个奉献者呢，他就会。说出一些誓言，那么同样相应的这个灵性导师他也会立誓。
The disciple promises to follow certain rules and regulations, and the spiritual master promises to bring the disciple back to Krishna.
那这个门徒呢，他就立誓要遵循某些规范原则，而灵性导师呢也立誓说他一定要把这个门徒带回到灵性世界。
Once this formality is completed, then we begin to serve the spiritual master.
那当这个程序完成之后呢，这个门徒就开始正式的去服务自己的灵性导师了。
And there are so many different ways a disciple can serve the guru.
那一个门徒他要去服务自己的灵性导师，可以有不同的方式。
But the first duty of a disciple in terms of serving the guru. Is to serve Krishna nicely.
那么就是就服务自己的灵性导师来说，其实首当其冲的是要好好的去服务 Krishna。
We have to understand this very clearly. Spiritual life is not about the spiritual master. It's about Krishna. The guru is only there to teach us how to serve Krishna.
但是我们要知道，这种分爱的服务其实并不是围绕着灵性导师的，而是围绕着这个 Krishna， 也就是说要为 Krishna 做奉献服务。灵性导师呢，他是一个媒介，他来帮助我们，让我们学习如何更好的去服务。
And therefore, the spiritual master will always be there with the disciple, because to learn to serve Krishna until we reach a pure platform.Requires constant guidance.
那但是在这条道路上呢，灵性导师会一直的去伴随着这个门徒，因为这样的一种奉爱服务的修习，若要达到纯粹完美的这个境界的话，在这个过程当中，一定时时刻刻每行一步都是需要有指导的。
And Srila Prabhupada was so careful about this that he called his movement the International Society.For Krishna consciousness.
那对于这一点呢 ，Krishna， 是 Srila Prabhupada 是慎之又慎，他把我们的这个运动呢称为是国际 Krishna 知觉协会。
And this is very.
对不起，说错了，是 Krishna 知觉运动。
What did you say?
ISKCON， 是 Krishna 知觉运动，他强调了 Krishna 知觉。
So this was a very very brilliant move because.It would allow people all over the world to always focus on Krishna.
这是一种非常卓越的一种想法，因为这样呢，以这个作为冠名，就是说 Krishna 知觉运动就是可以让这个世界上所有的加入这个Krishna 知觉的人都能够以 Krishna 为他们专注的核心。
Now, wherever you go around the world, except for China, Even in Hong Kong, if you walk down the street dressed as a devotee, wearing tilak, people will look at you and they will say, "Oh, here is a Hare Krishna."
就是现在世界上除了中国之外，别的这些地方，包括香港在内，假如说你是穿着纱丽、涂着 tilak 在这个街上行走的话，那很多人他就会对你说，哦，这里来了一位 Hare Krishna。
Many people will wave at you and say Hare Krishna.
肯定有好多人可能还会跟你招手，跟你说 Hare Krishna.
Even on WeChat, so many people who are not devotees. First thing they say, they type on the screen is Hare Krishna.
即便是在这个微信上面的好多人，他们从来都没有见过，他们可能都会打招呼的时候的这个表情符是这个 Hare Krishna.
We are not known as the Prabhupadas. We are known as the Hare Krishnas.
我们不是以 Prabhupada 而是以 Hare Krishna 人被人们所熟知。
So this is actually the characteristic of a pure devotee, is that the pure devotee is always pushing everyone towards Krishna.
这就是纯粹的奉献者的一个表征，就是他随时都会把所有的人推向Krishna,
and who is the most expert in doing this? Srimati Radharani. She is always pushing others to be with Krishna.
那谁最擅长这件事情呢？就是 Srimati Radharani. 她总是把所有的人都推到 Krishna 的跟前。
So because we are pushed by the spiritual master to serve Krishna, our debt to the guru is eternal.
因为呢是灵性导师推动着我们，把我们推向 Krishna 的面前，向 Krishna 做奉献服务，所以说呢我们是永恒的亏欠着我们的灵性导师的。
It's not like we finish this life and we say, wow, finally I'm done with my guru, I'm finally free. Sorry, even if you make it back to the spiritual world, you'll still be with your guru.
不是说你这辈子结束之后你就说跟这个孤立的这个关系就到此为止了，现在我终于自由了，不是这样的。就算是你到了灵性世界的话，你和灵性导师之间的这种关系呢依然在延续。
So what is the dynamic in the relationship? Number four, one must receive instruction from the spiritual master and one makes inquiries in order to learn devotional service.
这样的一种充满着生命力的这种活跃的这种关系呢，接下来还有 包括这个第四点哈，就是说要从灵性导师那里去接受这个指导啊、训示啊，然后第五点呢，就是必须要去遵循之前的啊 Acharya 的这个步伐。
Four
啊，第四条就是必须要从灵性导师那里去接受这个训示，然后呢，就是向他去寻语呢喃。
This is what Krishna talks to Arjuna about in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pariprathena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshantite Jnanam Janinas Tatva Darshinaha. One must approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him.
这就是在这个薄伽梵歌的第四章当中 Krishna 对 Arjuna 所说的，在这个三十四世节当中是，就是说一个人一定要努力的去接近灵性导师，向他寻以疑难，并向他做出奉献服务。
So this is the healthy relationship which is established. We receive instructions and we inquire.About devotional service.
所以呢，这个就是我们要做的，就是关于这个奉爱服务呢，我们从我们的灵性导师那里去接受这个训谕，并且呢，向灵性导师寻以疑难。
Srila Prabhupada told us that he only asked one question to his guru.
Srila Prabhupada 他说呢，他只是问他的灵性导师一个问题。
What was that question?
How can I serve?
How can I serve?
就是我怎么才能服务于你呢？
I mean, what an amazing question. How can I serve you?
这个问题真的是非常的了不起。就是只是一个这么简单的问题，我如何才能服务？
Not, I want to do this, I want to do that.
并不是说我要做这个，我要做那个。
I'm really expert at this, let me do this.
我是最擅长的，就是说这事儿我来做吧。
No, how can I serve?
他不是这样说的，他的唯一的这个问题就是我如何才能服务你？
One time in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to two different disciples.
有一次呢，在这个 Vrindavan 呢， Srila Prabhupada 给了两个奉献者 sannyasi 托钵僧的启迪。
One was a manager, and the other one was a traveling preacher.
然后有一个人呢，他是一个管理者，还有另外一个是经常的是去旅行的，他是一个传教士。
So after giving them sannyas, he called them into his room.
然后呢，给了他们 sannyas 的启迪之后，就把这个两个人叫到屋子里面来了。
And he told the sannyas, who is a manager, now I want you to travel and preach.
他跟那个就固定在一个地方做管理的那个奉献者说呢，现在呢，我要你去这个旅行。
And the other one who travels and preaches, now I want you to stay here and manage.
然后呢，对那另外一个旅行的 sannyas 奉献者说呢，现在我要你留在这里做管理。
So it's about serving the guru.
所以它其实在这里的核心就是去服务灵性导师。
Now we should keep in mind that the spiritual master will never give an instruction to the disciple if the disciple is not able to follow that instruction.
那我们也要记住一点，就是说如果一个门徒没有办法遵循灵性导师的某一个特定的训谕的话，这个灵性导师是不会轻易的给门徒这样的一个教导的。
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw Prabhupada for the first time, Prabhupada was not initiated, he was just a new person, and he said, you are a young man,You are very fluent in English. Why don't you spread this Sankirtan movement all over the world?
那就是当第一次 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 见到 Srila Prabhupada 的时候， Srila Prabhupada 他还没有启迪，是一个年轻的小伙子。然后呢， Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 就对他说呢，你还非常的年轻，而且呢，你的英文也说的很流利，为什么不把这个 Sankirtan 运动齐颂圣名带到世界各地去呢？
So this was the very first instruction Srila Prabhupada received.
那这个就是 Srila Prabhupada 见到他的灵性导师之后所听到的第一个训示。
So this was very clear, and this is enough to keep Prabhupada busy for the rest of his life.
那这个教导呢是非常的清晰的。那这个仅仅是这么一个教导，就足以让 Srila Prabhupada 在余生中都异常的忙碌。
And still, Prabhupada asked his guru, "How can I serve?"
但是即便是如此呢，是了 ，Prabhupada 也一直在询问他的灵性导师，我怎么来服务你？
Because if you want me to do something completely, I'm prepared to do that.
因为如果你想让我做一个完全不同的一个事情的话，我也随时准备好去这么做。
So it may not materialize as such, but the attitude should be there.
啊，就是不一定啊，你想就是你询问灵性导师，你好，就马上给你一个新的服务，然后他就真的需要去做一个新的服务。但是这个问题的关键就是，作为门徒，你应当有这样的抱有这样的一种心态。
So this attitude is not a mental attitude; it comes from the heart. It's based on love and affection.
啊，那这样的一种啊心态，这样的一种态度，不是仅仅是来自于这种。头脑理性，而是来自于内心，是基于这种爱。
So this relationship between guru and disciple is very much based on the attitude of the soul, which is situated within the heart.
所以呢，就是这个 guru， 就是灵性导师和门徒之间的这种关系呢，它的是基于的这种心态是来自于。居住在内心深处的灵魂的。
Then one must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the direction given by the spiritual master.
那接下来的这一条呢，就是说必须要去遵循，先前的这个 acharya 们历代先师们的这个步伐，然后去追随着自己灵性导师所给予的指导。
It means that we follow the teachings of the acharyas who are situated in our disciplic succession.
这个意味着我们要去追随那些我们的使徒传系当中的 acharya.
And here we have a typical example. Lord Chaitanya is giving just a few instructions to Sanatan Goswami, and then Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami are going to extend on these teachings.And give us those teachings. So we follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis.
那在这里其实就是一个非常典型的一个经典的例子，就是说 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里的是教导的 Sanatan Goswami。那么 Sanatan Goswami 和 Rupa Goswami 接受了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导之后呢，他们就进一步的去阐释、去延伸、去扩展。这样子呢，这样子。一代接下来之后呢，就让我们接受到了这些奉爱的这个知识。所以说呢，可以说我们就是在追随六个 Swami 的步伐。
So the fact that we have access to the reading and the studies of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it means we follow in the footsteps of the author of the book, which is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami.
那我们现在是在阅读和研习 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经，这个也是。意味着我们在追随这部经典的作者 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 的教导。
And other acharyas such as Narottam Das Thakur.
那其他的还有像 Narottam Das Thakur.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Baladev Vidyabhushana.
Baladev Vidyabhushana.
And of course Bhaktivinod Thakur.
还有 Bhaktivinod Thakur.
And his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
还有他的儿子巴基斯坦的萨拉斯瓦蒂的
，and Srila Prabhupada，
然后就到 Srila Prabhupada。
So these are the main acharyas that we follow in their footsteps because of their teachings and their examples。
那前面我们所说到的这些呢，就是我们这个传承当中的最主要的一些历代的先师 acharya 们，那就是说呢，是因为他们的这个教导，他们的这个榜样。所以呢，我们去追随他们。
And each one has given a certain body of knowledge from their own realizations.
然后呢，他们每一个人呢，都是基于他们各自的这个觉悟，所以赐予了我们一定的知识。
And we will see later on in this discussion, Srila Prabhupada will explain.We don't need to read many books.
在后面呢，我们会读到 Srila Prabhupada 的一个教导，就是说我们不需要看很多的书。
They are, if you go to the bookshop here in Mayapur, there are so many books.
如果说你到这个Mayapur的这个书店里的话呢, 就会看到很多很多的书。
But Prabhupada explains, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, these books are enough to bring someone back to the spiritual world.
Is that including the Theravada instruction?
Yes. Because Krishna consciousness is not about accumulating information. It's about realizing.
Krishna 知觉呢, 不是关乎去, 累积那些信息, 大量的这个信息, 它的核心是在于觉悟。
Srila Prabhupada says, we don't need learned scholars, we need devotees.
Srila Prabhupada说, 我们并不需要渊博的学者, 我们要的是奉献者。
So, even if we are not inclined towards learning many books, even just a little bit is enough to give us the highest realizations.
那如果说我们没有去读大量的这个书籍的这个愿望, 那我们只要去把自己的这个专注力锁定在很少的几部书上面, 那去真正的深入进去的话, 也足以给予我们足够的觉悟。
Now we saw that Srila Prabhupada was still translating and commenting on the Srimad Bhagavatam as he was leaving his body. Prabhupada was lying on his bed, practically almost dead, and his secretary would have the microphone to his mouth and Prabhupada would still comment on the Srimad Bhagavatam. But earlier than that, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, if I can stay healthy and live longer, then I will finish the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I will start translating the Goswami literatures.
在那之前，还是Prabhupada的身体还尚比较健康的时候，他就是说过这样的话。如果说 Krishna 能够让我活得足够长的话，那我就会把圣典博迦瓦坛完全的做完，就是完成圣典博迦瓦坛。那接下来呢，我要做的就是Goswami们的文献。But
we have to understand how Prabhupada so expertly put all the teachings, all the realization in the books that he has given us.
那么我们要知道呢，Srila Prabhupada呢，他把就是他所有的这些觉悟都是浓缩在他所呈现的这些书籍当中的，这一点是非常的卓越的。Like
we have these books, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
就比如说呢，我们也有一本书叫做《求Chaitanya的教导》。So
the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa and Sanatana.
那这个求Chaitanya的教导呢，其实里面的这个内容是关于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Rupa 和 Sanatana Goswami 的教导。Then
he gave us the Krishna book, the entire 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in story form.
然后呢，他还给予了我们 Krishna Book， 就是 Krishna 快乐的泉源这部书，那就是把 Krishna 的逍遥时光以故事的方式呈现。So
there is so much knowledge which is being revealed, and if we apply ourselves to gain some realization from that knowledge, it's enough to bring one to the pure platform of devotional service.
所以说呢，有这些书呢。 就是在里面已经浓缩了大量的这个教导。如果说我们认真的去研习的话，并且把它真正的去实践和运用到我们的奉爱服务之中的话，那么我们所获得的这个觉悟已经足以让我们回归神手，回归灵性世界了。
And Prabhupada was very meticulous in bringing the previous acharyas into his own purports.
而且，释迦牟尼佛呢，他还非常这个细致的把之前的这些 acharya 们的一些教导，也把它集中到他所评注的这些经典当中了。
So we have between the different practices that we have every day, which we're going to go over, and the direction of the guru, we are completely protected.
所以说呢，一方面有我们每天要做的这些规范的这些休息，这一点我们接下来就会一一的讲到，然后再加上我们灵性导师给予我们的这种指引和指导，那可以说有了这两方面的话，我们就是完全的得到了保护的。
The safest place in the entire material creation is the lotus feet of the spiritual master.
在这个物质世界当中，最安全的一个地方就是灵性导师的莲花足。
And if we stay away from the lotus feet of the spiritual master, we are again subject to be trapped by the material energy.
如果说我们离开了灵性导师的莲花足的话呢，我们就非常容易再次跌入到物质能量的罗网之中。
Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna gives guru.And Guru gives Krishna.
释迦牟尼佛他说呢 ，Krishna 把 Guru 给予了我们，而 Guru 呢把 Krishna 给予了我们。
So then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu keeps going with the following items.
然后呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢继续往下讲，又讲到了后面的几项，就是除了前面的刚才的五项之外。
Krishna pritye bhogatyaga Krishna tirtebash yavan.Nirvaha Pratigraha Ekadashi Upavas. The next steps are as follows. One should be prepared to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and one should also accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction. Seven, one must live in a place where Krishna is present, a city like Vrindavan or Mathura, or a Krishna temple. Eight, one should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. Nine, one must fast on the Ekadashi day.
接下来的几步就是第六条呢，就是说为了去满足Krishna 的话，一个人应当随时准备好放弃一切，为了满足 Krishna 的。为了满足 Krishna 也应当随时可以接受一切，就是接受可以满足 Krishna 的一切。还有呢，就是说，一个人应当要居住在 Krishna 所临在的地方，比如说像 Vrindavan、Mathura 或者是 Krishna 的庙宇这样的地方。第八条呢，就是说一个人应当就是去接受一份仅仅足以维生的生活。就是让这个躯体和灵魂在一起，保持这种健康就可以。第九条呢，就是一个人应当在这个 Ekadasi 那天持戒，就是戒食。
So again, these items are offered by the spiritual master.
这几条也是灵性导师所教给我们的。
For the smooth progress of the devotee.
就是为了可以让你在这个奉爱的这个道路上能够一帆风顺。
And the Acharya, especially Rupa Goswami, has very much expanded on these in his own books.
那么在这些 Acharya 呢，尤其是 Rupa Goswami， 他就是在我们刚才所讲的这一点上面呢，他都也有进一步的这个扩展，这些阐释都是集中在他的书籍里。
And also very much Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
还有 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 也做
了
阐释。
So, to be prepared to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction and accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction means to accept what is favorable for spiritual advancement and to reject what is unfavorable for spiritual advancement.
就是第一条在这里说到的，就是应当是为了满足 Krishna， 随时的放弃一切。为了满足 Krishna， 随时可以接受一切，意味着就是说你要去接受那些 对这个奉爱服务有所裨益的这种事物，而放弃那些对奉爱服务不利的事物。
One must live in a place where Krishna is present. So, does everybody, the whole world, has to move to Vrindavan and Mathura?
那在这里讲到了要居住在 Krishna 临在的一个地方。那这句话的意思是不是说全世界的人都应当要搬到这个 Vrindavan Mathura 去居住呢？
Does the whole world need to pack their bags and move into a Krishna temple?
就是全世界的人是不是都应该收拾行李搬到一个 Krishna 的庙宇里去居住呢？
The idea is that yes, some people may want to live in Vrindavan or Mathura.
这里的意思就是说，有些人的确是喜欢住在 Vrindavan 和 Mathura.
Just like here in Mayapur, there are all throughout the year on a permanent basis at least 3,000 devotees.
就好像在 Mayapur 这个地方，就的常住的居民奉献者呢，就大概有3000人之多。
But 3,000 devotees is not very much compared to the few million devotees we have all over the world.
但是呢，在这里的这个三千个人，比起全世界的这个几百万人奉献者而言的话呢，那还不是很多。
So ideally speaking, we should reside in Vrindavan and Mathura, but we have to do this through our consciousness.
那这是最理想的情况，当然是可以有心。住在 Vrindavan 和 Mathura 是最好的，但是在这里的关键还是说，我们要在我们的意识当中，在我们的知觉当中居住在 Vrindavan 和 Mathura。
And we make our home a Krishna temple.
然后呢，我们把我们所居住的这个家变成一个 Krishna 的庙。
Then we can have millions of temples.
这样的话呢，我们的这个庙呢就可以千千万万遍布在各处。
Not only that, our body is Krishna's temple.
而且不仅如此，我们的躯体本身也是一个 Krishna 的庙宇。
So there are many ways to constantly remain in Krishna's presence.
所以呢，就是时时刻刻的和 Krishna 在一起，可以有各种各样的方式。
One should acquire livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. It means don't accumulate.
那这里就是第八条里面，就是说到一个人呢。他应当接受一份足以为生的生活就可以了。
Accumulating means insecurity.
那个意思就是说不要过度的囤积就是一个人他如果特别喜欢去积累囤积的话，那就是意味着他是缺乏安全感的。
It means that we have a livelihood so we can eat and sleep and stay healthy.
就是我们只要有这样的一份足以为生的这种生活，让我们能够就是在吃饭呐、睡眠呐、这方面都保持健康就好。
And we may have some money aside in case of emergency.
然后呢，再留出一些钱来以备不时之需紧急的状况可以去使用。
We may have a retirement plan.
我们可能有一个这个退休的这个计划。
For a health package, insurance,
或者说呢，有这个保险。
These are the basic minimum requirements to keep the body and soul together in the modern age that we live in.
这个就是说让这个躯体和灵魂就英文里面它就是说躯体和灵魂在一起，意思就是说你能够生活的健康。能够维持生存，这个就可以了。
So we have to be realistic, we have to be practical, we live in a modern world, we have bills to pay, we have children to raise, we have families, we have service.
不过我们是生活在一个现代的社会里面呢，我们每天都有很多的账单可能要去支付，还有家庭要去维系养家糊口，还有孩子的这个教育问题还有父母要赡养还有我们可能还有很多的服务要去做，很多的责任要去履行。
But if we constantly meditate in accumulating wealth, accumulating assets, then this is going to take us away from our service to Krishna. Unless our service to Krishna is to just do that. And some devotees just do that because they are very good at it.
那么这是可以理解的，但是说如果说我们成天满脑子想的就是 怎么样这个去囤积财富，怎么样去获得一些房产地产什么之类的，那就是过度了之后就会把我们的这种知觉带离Krishna， 知觉带离 Krishna， 除非是刚才所说的这些事情，就是这些责任，就是你的奉献服务。那有些人他一辈子的确就是把这个家庭的维系啊之类的这些事情给他做的非常的完善，那么这是因为他们也是比较的擅长，就是他们比如说很擅长挣钱，很擅长致富，那么他们也可以这样去做。有些人他们这辈子就是这样做的。
For example, you may have devotees who are very grounded in spiritual life. They're very attached to their sadhana. They're chanting japa. They're very conscious when they take prasadam. They do their puja every day.
那就是有些人他们在这个奉献服务当中呢是非常的坚定的，这个基础打得非常的牢固，然后他们一直都在每天都在坚持认真的做 sadhana。他们荣耀 prasadam 的时候呢，也非常的这个知觉 prasadam， Krishna 的这个灵粮的这个意义，然后每天也有做 puja。
They're very absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
他们就是全身心的沉浸在 Krishna 知觉里面。
But at the same time, it's easy for them to make money.
但是有这些人呢，他们在这与此同时呢，他们挣钱也很容易。
So they can be directed.Either by their own expertise or with the help of the spiritual master to place their money in specific project. You can print books, you can build temple, you can take care of devotees, you can donate for specific things which will help the spreading of Krishna consciousness.
那么这样的这个奉献者呢，他们也可以居于自己的这个专业上的这种专长，或者是在灵性导师上的这个指导下面，他可以把他比较轻松挣来的这些钱呢运用到某一些项目当中，比如说去印书啊、建庙啊、照顾奉献者啊，或者是投入某一些特定的项目之中。
But otherwise, to struggle constantly to try to build up assets, this is a waste of time.
但是如果是这样呢，就是这个人他非常的挣扎，然后辛辛苦苦费尽了心力，只是为了去积累一些房产或者是一些财富，那一辈子都是在这种生存挣扎当中去经过的，那么这个可以说就是浪费时间。
And this may go against Chinese culture.
可能刚才所说的这一点呢，有悖于中国的文化。
Because in China, you are a proper Chinese if you are very materially prosperous. Otherwise, you're not successful.
因为在这个中国的话，可能就是说光耀门楣啊，这些就是如果你是能够发财致富的话，那就是说明你生活的非常的成功。
So, we have to look at our priorities. We want to be Krishna conscious, or we want to look good to others.
所以我们就是要做一个选择，我们这辈子究竟是要获得 Krishna 知觉呢，还是在别人的眼里成为一个值得称道的人。
So, and finally, one must fast on Ekadashi day.
最后一点呢，就是说在 Ekadashi， 就是艾卡达西日要戒食。
So, as we call it in the Western world, Ekadashi means potato day.
在西方我们把 Ekadashi 日说成是土豆日。
Which means we don't fast completely, but we refrain, we fast from grains.Basically, fast from grains and beans.
那这种戒食可以是要做半戒食，就是它是，我们不吃这个五谷和豆类，主要是五谷和豆类。
And we have to eat properly on Ekadashi day so we can be energetic and strong to do our service to Guru.
那么在 Ekadashi 的这一天呢，那以这个 prasadam 呢？也是不能太忽略的。你要把这个 prasadam 荣耀好了，你才有足够的这种精力去服务 Guru 和 Krishna。
So we have covered 9 items. There are 64 of them.
在这个分害服务的这个程序当中要讲到64项，我们现在呢刚讲了才9项。
And we will not continue next week because next Wednesday is Sri Krishna Janamastami, and we will have a special class on the appearance of Lord Krishna.
那么就是我们下一周的礼拜三，我们就暂停一下，不继续讲这个 Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita， 因为下周三是 Krishna 的显现日，所以我们要专门讲一下有关 Krishna 的显现和的逍遥时光。
Okay, we'll stop here.
好，我们今天的课先讲到这里。我们看一下大家有没有什么问题。Can you please open up?OK， 好，第一个问题是来自于 Panchatattva 的，顶拜发布感谢翻译和主持人，生啪啪是所有奉献者的训示咕噜，希望奉献者，能够团结合作，但还是有些奉献者自我中心，不听从 GBC， 自以为是，离开 ISKCON， 这是对Srila Prabhupada的冒犯吗？这些偏离的人就像 Chaitanya 奉爱树上的干枯的树枝，得不到滋养，是吗？Thank you very much for your class, and also the translator and the organizer. Srila Prabhupada is everyone's Shiksha Guru. He wished that all the devotees be united, but however, still there are some devotees who are self-centered, not following the GBCs, and just want to do their own thing, very wayward. They left ISKCON.They have left ISKCON. Is it a kind of offense to Srila Prabhupada? These are these deviated people, just like the withered branches from the dry branches from Chaitanya Bhakti tree, which will lose nourishment ultimately.
We have to look at, it's a good question. We have to look at it in a pragmatic way.
就是你的这个问题问得很好，不过我们也得要从一个非常实际的角度来分析这个问题。
So there is a spiritual logistic.
有这种灵性上的 logistic. I don't know how to say it.
There is a logic behind it.
Oh, logistics. Yes. 就是说这有一个灵性上的逻辑。
In other words, the spiritual master gives you birth.
就比如说，就是说呢，灵性导师给了你这个生命。
Both the spiritual master and the scriptures become your parents.
然后呢，这个灵性导师和这个经典呢，就好比是你的母亲。
So you get your education and you get your nourishment from your parents.
那你的这个所受的这个教育以及你的这个哺育和培养，都是来自于滋养的，都是。是来自于你的父母。
Now, as you grow up, you are the way you are built is from the knowledge that you receive and the instructions that you receive.
你慢慢的就长大，你成为怎么样的一个人呢？就是来自于你所接受的这份教育和知识。
On a bigger scale, we have to understand that the idea is every town and village to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world.
从宏观的这个角度来说呢，我们的目标就是说让每一个乡村城镇都能够传遍主的圣名。
And we need for that certain element to make it successful.
然后呢，为了要让这样的一个宏愿达成，成为现实的话。那么我们需要有一定的这个因素，有几个因素要达到。
The first one is to follow the instructions of the guru.
第一个就是遵循我们的灵性导师的训示。
Back in the 70s, the devotees used to go to Prabhupada and complain about other devotees.
在70年代的时候，好些奉献者会到Srila Prabhupada跟前去抱怨其他的奉献者。
Srila Prabhupada, these householders, they don't come to the temple.
就是那些奉献者呢，就跟Srila Prabhupada投诉说，你看这个居士，他们从来都不来庙里的。
Prabhupada was surprised. Oh.
那Prabhupada感到很惊奇，是吗
Prabhupada said, are they chanting their 16 rounds?
And Prabhupada 就说, 他们有没有在念 16圈呀?
Oh yeah, there's no problem with that.
哦,是的, 16圈是没有问题的。
Are they doing RT at home?
他们在家里面做 RT吗?
Oh yes, they are doing that.
哦,是的, 在家里也有的, 也做 RT的。
Are they reading my books?
他们有没有看我的书啊?
Yes, yes, Prabhupada.
有,是的。
But they're not coming to the temple.
但是他们不来庙里。
Prabhupada says they are following nicely.
那Prabhupada说呢,他们遵守得很好。
So in other words, it doesn't matter where you are, if you stick to the instructions of the guru and you get the blessing of the devotees, then you are doing fine.
那所以呢,在这里的这个关键就是在于,无论你是在世界上的哪个地方,只要你是遵循着灵性导师给你的这个序域,那第二点就是得到别的奉献者的这个祝福,那么你就是还可以说是安然无恙的。
But in that conversation, the devotees kept pressing. But Prabhupada, they're not coming to the temple.
但是呢，在就是刚才所说的这个门徒跟Prabhupada的对话当中，那个门徒还在一再的坚持说，但是他们不来庙里面啊。So
Prabhupada said, "Yes, you are correct."
那Prabhupada说，是的，你说的对。He
said, "Association is the most important."
然后他接着补了一句说，这个联谊是最重要的。
In other words, you can be following very nicely, but where do you get your nourishment from?
那换句话说就是说呢，你可能遵循的这个灵性导师的训谕啊，这个修习都是还是比较严格、认真的去做的。但是你的资粮来自于哪里呢？
You get it from the association of devotees.
这是通过这个奉献者的这个联谊，你才能够得到这份滋养的。
So, even following nicely still requires the nourishment from the devotees. If we don't have that, then we're going to dry up.
那就算是你这个遵循的这些原则都做得非常的好，但是如果你没有跟奉献者联谊，没有奉献者的这个滋养的话，那你迟早都会干。
It's just a logical calculation.
这个是一个非常合乎逻辑的一个推理。 But some people, they go to other organizations, not ISKCON. Is it offense?
My point is...
我补了一句,就是如果离开ISKCON去了其他的团体的话, 那么...
My point is, you receive a set of instructions from your guru. If you go to another group, and those instructions are not followed, you are going to dry up. For one main reason is you become subconsciously offensive to your spiritual master.
那就是说呢，如果对于这样的一个人呢，他们离开了ISKCON，那离开了之后加入了其他的团体，那么在那个新的团体当中，他不再遵循灵性导师所给予他的训谕的话，那么在潜意识他们当中，他就没有去遵循，那么迟早呢，他就会枯竭，那这就是对他的灵性导师的一个冒犯。OK。 下一个问题来自于苏穆基拉达达西，顶拜帕布和马太吉吉所有的奉献者，感恩您精彩的讲课。请问戴启迪之前，除了遵守四项基本原则，每天念诵16圈一年之外，我们还应该做好哪些外在的和内在的准备？如果因为经常出差，条件不允许，还不能只荣耀，不能有规律的每周参加奉献者的联谊，经典的学习也还没有什么理解能力。 这种情况下适合启迪吗？如果勉强启迪，未来会有什么隐患吗？会对咕噜和有什么不好的影响吗？您说启迪只是一个开始，那么有些做不到的事情，以后慢慢努力是否也可以？Thank you very much for your wonderful class. My question is, before one gets initiation, besides following the four regular principles and chanting 16 rounds every day for 1 year, is there any other internal and external preparations we should do before getting initiation? Because our business, we have to travel all the time, and we can't only honor prasadam, and nor can we attend devotees association or devotees programs every week, regularly. Maybe we don't even have some substantial realization about the scriptures. And in such a case, is initiation suitable for this kind of person? If you still push to get initiation, is there any hidden danger for the future? Would that bring some negative influence onto the guru? You mentioned that initiation is just the beginning, but if there's some things that we can't do, we haven't fulfilled before the initiation, can we still make a slow progress after getting initiation towards that goal?
That's a loaded question.
Yes.
You are not going to accomplish everything before initiation.
在这个洗涤之前, yeah, 你不可能, 样样都做得很好。
And even when devotees take their vows at the time of initiation,
就算是一些奉献者在洗涤的时候, 他发了誓,
I'm not sure how many actually are 100% conscious of what those vows are about.
我不知道呢，就是立誓的这些奉献者们，在你说出这些誓言的时候， 你是否100%的意识到了这些誓言的分量？
You see, a lot of this has to do with, it has to do with pious activities.
这个跟你的一个人的这个虔诚的活动非常有关。
I mentioned many times that we don't all come to Krishna consciousness with the same baggage.
之前呢，我也给大家讲过几次，就是我们不是所有的奉献者加入 Krishna 支持的时候都带着同样的包袱。For
some, it's very easy.
某些人呢，他去 做这些复杂的程序，他就觉得很轻松。
For others, not so easy.
有的人就不太容易了。
For others, it's a constant struggle.
还有一些人呢，就是总是在那儿挣扎，非常的辛苦。
Based on previous life activities and this life's activities.
这个是基于你前世的活动以及今生的一些活动。
So, for some people to take initiation, it's like I've always waited for initiation. I'm ready anytime.
有一些人呢，接受洗涤，对他们来说呢，这个就是我心心念念一直在渴望和准备的。我随时都可以准备洗涤。And
for others, you know, it takes a lot of decision making and a lot of thinking whether they are ready or not.
那好些人他就得要瞻前顾后，深思熟虑，要好好的这些再三斟酌思量，想想自己是不是已经做好了这个洗涤的准备了呢？
And then you have the danger of being pushed by others in their groups that they have to take initiation, otherwise they won't make any progress.
还有一些人呢，他就是这是一个很大的一个危险，就是他是身在一个奉献者的一个团体当中，所以他一直的不断的被别人这个催促，其实他是没有准备好的。然后呢，别人的这种催促啊，这种 推动啊，就是给他一个暗示，如果说你不接受启迪的话，你就不可能有任何的灵性上的进步。And
we have to stop doing that.
那我这点是我们一定要避免的。It's
actually offensive to the individual to push them in a certain direction.
所以说其实对于这样的一个个体，就是强迫他往某一个方向走，去催促着他，这实际上对他是一种冒犯。
Devotees should be able to decide for themselves.
奉献者们呢，他应当去自主的去决定这个事情。
And it doesn't have to be 1 year, it can be 2 years, it can be 3 years.
你不一定要等，也不一定是一年, 可能你愿意用上2年和3年的时间。
But the first duty that we have as devotees and followers of Srila Prabhupada is to be completely absorbed in getting to know Prabhupada intimately.
作为这个奉献者呢，也是追随Srila Prabhupada的这个奉献者，对我们来说，其实重中之重首要的要做的话，就是说，要非常近距离的去了解Srila Prabhupada。
Why do we have access to gurus today? Because we have devotees who are following Srila Prabhupada.
那为什么我们现在有机会去接近我们的灵性导师，是因为我们有这么多去遵循Srila Prabhupada脚步的奉献者。So
we should have, again, I always complain about this, but we should have all of Prabhupada's letters translated, his room conversation, his morning walks, all the videos. The Prabhupada Lilamrita is now published. And everything that Prabhupada said and everything that Prabhupada wrote should be available to the devotees so that the first year of their entrance into Krishna consciousness should be swimming in an ocean of Prabhupada consciousness.
我们呢还应该有把这个Srila Prabhupada的这个书信啊，还有他的讲座呀，还有这种清晨漫步的这些对话，使内坛化呀，所有的这些资料有关Srila Prabhupada讲的话，他的书全部都给翻译出来，能够让奉献者能够看到。这样呢，在奉献者刚加入Krishna的知觉的时候呢，在至少是在前面的最第一年的时候，他就有机会能够完全的畅游在Srila Prabhupada的知觉当中。
Am I missing something here? If the initiation
is just the beginning, as you said, is there any other unfulfilled things that we can do after initiation? In other words, we make a slow progress towards that goal. Is that we take time? Is that okay after initiation?
Of course. The point is, this is where when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says following the footsteps of the previous acharyas means that the previous acharyas have already worked these things out. They know exactly what will happen.
就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他说要去遵循过往的这些 acharya 们历代的先师们，意味着就是那些我们的之前的这些先者们，这些 acharya 们，他已经把这个程序已经非常清晰的这个觉悟透了，所以说他们完全就能够知道我们在这条奉爱的道路上一步一步的都会经历一些什么。Just
like a medical book will tell you according to the disease. What are the symptoms of recovery?
就好像是说，一部医书，它在里面就可以告诉你，你生了病之后，然后你就是通过治疗恢复，在恢复的这个阶段当中，哪一些征象可以告诉你，你在这个恢复之中。So,
you know, acharyas like, especially Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have written extensively about every possible detail and every possible situation you will face as you are going through the purification process. Sorry.
那就像这个一些Acharya们，尤其是像 Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur 还有 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 就专门就这个我们这个奉献服的程序当中的事无巨细都写得非常非常的细致，就是你会遇到些什么，你在这个道路上面会遇到一些什么样的挑战，你会经历一些什么，你如何去跨过，其实都写得非常的清晰，告诉我们怎么样一步一步的得到进化。
So it is expected that there will be challenges, there will be obstacles, and the acharyas are showing us, okay, this is coming up next, this is what you have to do about it.
所以呢，就是说，这个是一步步累积的，一定是在启迪之后也是会有很多的挑战，很多的障碍。而之前的这个Acharya们，其实已经是未卜先知，他们就知道我们在这个奉爱的这个道路上，他会警示我们，接下来可能会遇到这个情况，接下来可能会有另外一个障碍出现。Problem
controlling the mind, problem controlling the senses, problem controlling the body.
比如说你控制这个心意啊，控制感官啊，控制躯体啊，都会在不同的这个阶段可能会成为一个障碍。Having
doubts.
有的时候还会出现一些这个疑惑。Committing
offenses.
还有这个冒犯。Everything is
expected to happen. This is called anartha nivritti, to remove unwanted material desires.
这个就叫 anartha nivritti, 就是清除掉那些不想要的物质欲望。I need to specify, 就我再看一下你的这个。 Like he said that if one can't take prasadam very often or not attending the association weekly, regularly, is that okay or without much deep realization? So is it also required before initiation, or it's okay, you can work on that after initiation.
But what you mean, like after initiation you have a new job? What was that supposed to mean?
No. Before the initiation.
Yeah, she says because you travel often, right?
Business.
Yeah.
That's why they can't have prashada.
So my question is, so now you take initiation, you don't travel anymore? Your business is finished? You have a steady job where you can come home every day?
No, not necessarily.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same.
来了长发不是包括你刚才说的那个在旅行然后条件不允许要不杀的来了长发不都说那难道说你起迪了之后就会换一份工作你就可以在家里待着就是天天的荣耀不杀不是啊你可能还是原来那份工作然后每周可能还是得要去出差经常在外面旅行
Yeah, I mean,
so it's okay.
If you're a business person and you travel, no, my point is that it's not okay. My point is if you
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Mataji, 我听不到您了。
Okay, are we back?
好的, 刚刚是从您的意见那里断掉的。
啊, 你再说一遍。
是从Prabhu说, 我的意见是, 从那里就断掉了, 他说你不可能换一个工作。
起迪之后也要换一个工作，从那里就断掉了。对，就是说，并不意味着说你起迪之后你就会换一份工作，你就不用去旅行了。等等。Okay.
So
repeat from mentioning that doesn't mean that you will change your job after initiation.
Yeah, my point is that if you travel for business or what any reason. And you do that frequently, and you want to take initiation, you have to mold your lifestyle so you will take prasadam, or you offer your food all the time, that you will chant your rounds, and that you will read Prabhupada's books. If you neglect this before initiation, I bet you anything, you will neglect it after initiation.
就是说在起迪之前的话呢，你虽然可能还是在旅行，生活非常的忙碌，但是你要有这样的一种意识，就是荣耀菩萨的啊，还有参加联谊啊、供奉食物啊，这些都是非常重要的，所以你要想办法努力的去调整自己的生活，尽量的把这几点也都做到。那如果说 在起迪之前这些问题你没有着手去解决的话，那么起迪之后的话，它仍然会给你带来非常大的这个障碍。
And this brings up, you know, I mean, I'm not sure we have the time for this, but this brings up another related big topic is I want to take initiation from the spiritual master. I chant 16 rounds, I read the books, I do service, I associate, but I still have to cook meat for my husband.
那这个可能还会涉及到一个另外的一个话题，这个可能要专门去花时间去讨论。就是有一些奉献者呢，他也是念诵16圈，然后遵循4个规范原则，也跟奉献者联谊、供奉食物这些阅读经典都做得很好，但是他的这个家庭的这个状况就让他不得不为自己的这个家人去做肉吃。
And believe me, I wish we could change the way we say this and we hear more often, I still have to cook meat for my wife, which means we'll have Prabhus coming in.
当然我是希望这个问题换一种问法，那就更好了。就是说我还前面的那个问题是我经常还得为丈夫为家人做肉，但是我们希望是到时候反过来，有更多的人说，但是我还得给我的妻子去做肉。换句话说，就是我们能够有更多的这个Prabhu加入到我们。
So this is a big topic. Now this is reverted to the spiritual master. Is the spiritual master aware that this prospective disciple still cooks meat for the husband?
所以呢，这个其实就是又反射到这个灵性导师那里去了。就是灵性导师在启迪这个门徒的时候，是否意识到了，他是男门徒或者女门徒，还在为家里人去做一些肉。
So, you know, some of these questions will be dealt with On August the 9th, when we will have Uttama, Mataji, and Partha Prabhu giving the continuation of their seminar on Grihastha Ashram.
那我们在这里提到的跟我们的生活有关的这些问题将会在这周日的晚上也就是8月9号的晚上我们有那对居士夫妇 Uttama Prabhu Uttama Mataji 和 Partha Prabhu 要继续来跟我们分享一下有关居士生活当中的一些问题。
We had a long meeting with them yesterday, and they are very enthusiastic to help the Chinese devotees in those areas.
那我们昨天呢，跟他们有一个非常长的一个谈话，他们也是非常热情的，愿意来帮助我们的中国的奉献者。
I remember many years ago there was one Mataji in Australia who was a hair hostess.
我记得很多年前呢，有在澳大利亚有一位女奉献者，她的工作是空姐。
She was never home, always flying all over the world.
那她就是从来都是没有办法在家里待着的，因为她是空姐，所以她的工作就经常让她在天上飞。
But wherever she went, stay in a hotel, chant 16 rounds, read Prabhupada's books.
但是无论他到哪里呢，只要是在宾馆里，他就会念诵十六圈，阅读十六帕帕的书。
And then she approached the spiritual master and asked for initiation.
然后呢，后来他就来到一个灵性导师的面前，请求能够获得启迪。
And she said, Guru Maharaj, but on the plane I have to serve meat and alcohol to the customers.
然后他就跟他的 Guru Maharaj 说呢，但是有一个问题，就是我在那个飞机上面呢，就是不得不给乘客肉啊，还有一些酒啊什么的。
I was there when he asked her the question.
就是当时他问这个问题的时候，我就在边上听着呢。
And you know, he paused for a while. He did not give an answer straight away.
Which
one? I'm not going to say.
Okay. 这位灵性导师呢，就名字先就不说了。这个灵性导师。可是他就沉吟了一会儿，就是停顿了一下，再思考了一下。
His first response was, "Quit your job."
他的第一个的答案，第一个的这个回答就是说，你放弃这份工作。
And she was making good money.
当时他挣了钱，挣了挺多的钱。
Then he called her privately.
然后他又私下给他打了电话。
And he said, "Can you try to keep your job?" And not have to serve the meat and the alcohol.
他就问了他一个问题：这份工作你是否还能保留？但是不要去派这个肉给这个肉分发这个肉和肉食和那个麻醉酒。
It's amazing. With the spiritual master came one step forward, and then she came one step forward.
这个地方很有意思，就是你看到灵性导师往前走了一步，他也往前走了一步。
She believed in the instructions of the guru.
她深信，她对自己的灵性导师的教导深信不疑。
And somehow she negotiated with the airline.
她就是因为抱着这样一份强大的信心，她就跟这个航空公司去交涉。
And they gave her service on the flight where she doesn't have to touch meat and alcohol.
就是给了她一份安排了一份工作，他还是在这个为这个航空公司工作，但是呢，他的这个工作当中就让他不要去碰这个肉啊，还有这个酒啊这些东西。
But the idea to answer your question is it's better to be ready before the initiation so that after initiation you keep on the same path.
就是在这里呢，我为了回答这个问题，我要指明的就是说。最好的一种理想的情况就是在你启迪之前，你就把这些问题的尽量的就给它解决掉了。这样的话呢，可以让你在启迪之后呢，能够还是在原来的这个轨道上面顺利的走下去，而不至于有什么一些突然的这种困难的状况。
For example, Radhanath Swami, he now makes his disciples wait at least 5 years and some.10 years.
就比如说 Radhanath Swami 现在那个启迪非常的严格，他要他的这些门徒要至少等上5年，甚至有的人等了10年才得到他的启迪。
Why is that?
为什么会这样呢？
Because of three factors.
因为这里有三个因素。
One is the family factor.
第一个是家庭因素。
We're talking about Indian families.
我们在这里说的就是基本是印度家庭。
And the son is so precious for the family.
那这个儿子啊，对家里来说就是家中的一个宝。
So they want to make sure the family agrees with the spiritual master.
啊，所以呢，他得要用一些时间来赢得。就是家庭对于跟灵性导师意见上的一致。
Secondly, the career.
第二个就是说这个门徒的职业。
Have they finished their studies? Have they completed their university degree?
他们的学业是否完成了？在大学里面的这个学习是不是已经是完成的？
If not, they should finish them peacefully.
是否已经拿到了学位？那么如果说还没有完成的话，他们应当呢？非常这个认真的把这些学业给他完成。
No distraction.
不要分心。
Thirdly, the ashram.
第三个呢就是这个 ashram。
Do you want to remain single or do you want to be married?
这个 ashram 的意思就是说他还愿意单身下去呢，还是说想要结婚？
So he gives them 5 to 10 years to work all these things out, and then when they take initiation, they are grounded.They know what they're doing.
所以呢，就是他给了这个门徒5年到10年的这个准备时间，把这些问题都给捋清了。然后呢，等他们正式的接受启迪的时候呢，已经是属于一种非常稳定的、非常扎实的一个状态。
So just giving you different example.
所以就是给你举一些不同的这个例子。
We've seen devotees or people walking in the door for a Sunday feast lecture.Spending the day doing service at the temple, the next day Prabhupada comes and they get initiated.
我们也见到有这样的例子，有一些奉献者呢，就到了这个庙里来参加星期天的活动，同时呢，就是荣耀了这个周日的爱心大餐，然后也为这个庙里面做了这个服务，然后第二天Śrīla Prabhupāda就给了他们启迪。
嗯。
That's the beginning.
These are the early days.
这个呢，它是因为是在我们的这个开拓的这个时期，就是早期的时候，Śrīla Prabhupāda在推进他的 Krishna 直觉运动的时候所做的。Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
So, no more questions.
那今天就没有其他的问题了，是吧？
是的，马大姐。
Okay.
又来了一个。
Okay.
稍等一会儿。
你们在说。
又来了一个，稍等。
There is another question coming. 下一个问题来自于小小仆人，顶戴帕布和玛坦吉吉所有的奉献者，感恩您精彩的讲课。在中国传播Krishna知觉非常的困难，第一个是无神论，第二个是感官享受。就我目前的主要问题是素食做的不够好，家人偶尔吃一点还可以，常常抱怨味道不够好。给朋友讲述Krishna知觉，他们也感觉很好，但是听说吃素就都放弃了。主要在中国有很少的素食味道，不像印度做的这么好，不能满足人们的感官。请您指导一下，我们应该如何学习。Thank you for your wonderful class. It is very difficult to spread Krishna consciousness in China, mainly because of two reasons. One is the atheism. The second is sense gratification. In my situation,my problem is that I'm not very good at the, cooking vegetarian food. My family members may occasionally try some of my cookings, but they still complain that the taste is not good enough. And when I explain Krishna consciousness to my friends, they often feel, oh, this is very good. But as soon as they hear that it requires vegetarianism, then they all give up.The reason, the main reason is in China, the vegetarian food is mostly is not as tasty as the Indian, the prasadams made in India, which cannot satisfy people's sense gratification. So can you please give us some guidance how we should learn to improve
You want to answer that question?
People want to hear you.
this is the
difficult
eternal Chinese question.
这个是永恒的中国问题。
If we can replace 臭豆腐 with paneer.
如果我们用这个 paneer 啊 ，paneer 就是那个新鲜的牛奶制作的这个奶酪，新鲜的，用它来去代替那个臭豆腐。
I think it has to do with your cooking talents.
这个跟你的那个厨艺你有关系。
I completely agree with you with your description of the situation of people being impersonalist.
就是说你所讲的这种情况啊，这种非人格主义的这种状况呢，你所说的这种情况，我完全的同意。
And it's interesting when you say that people they appreciate the philosophy, but they don't like the prasadam.
就是说，他们可能还是会欣赏我们的哲学，但是他们对这个 prasadam 没有什么兴趣，没有被吸引。
So again, I have to insist on the point that if we are going to give prasadam to family members and friends, it's got to be excellent.
所以我还是要就是坚持这一点。如果说我们要把 prasadam 派给我们的家人或者是朋友的话呢，这个应当是做得非常的出色才好。
You've got to do research.
你自己要下足功夫，你要
去好研究一下。
你必须要做实验。
You have to learn.
你必须要学习。
Until you come up with something very, very tasty, which is going to completely trap their tongue.
就是说你终归是要花些这个功夫去研究去实践然后把它做出真正的就是味道非常甘美的这个 prasadam, 然后把他们的这个舌头给他那个抓住他们的这个舌头。
Because yes, it is different. The Chinese tongue is very, very conditioned to certain foods. Very conditioned.
你说的是很有道理的，就是说中国人的这个舌头，它这个味觉是有局限的。就是说我们的中国人就是舌，我们的这个味觉啊，这个口味有局限，就是很局限于某一些我们已经吃的非常习惯的这种东西。
So we have to come up with recipes that are very gratifying.
所以我们必须要想出一些特别好的这个菜谱，非常让他人非常非常的满足难忘。
Like a couple of days ago, we cooked a little feast for Lord Balaram.
就比如说两天之前，我们给主 Balaram 做了一些 prasadam.
And I made halva
我
with dates and bananas.
做了 halva， 这个可能有一些朋友还不知道 halva 是什么，这个是很有名的这个 Iskall 的经典的这个大餐当中不可缺的甜品，
and、
就是拿那个颗粒麦粉，然后和黄油做的这个甜品。在那 Radha Champabu 两天前做的是里面放了那个枣，中东那种甜枣和菠萝。
And then Krishna Premi and myself, we took a spoon, and then we looked at each other and we said.This is it. This is what the Chinese people need. A lot of halva.
然后我们就每个人都尝了一口，然后就不约而同的都说就是它了。就是说奉献者，中国的奉献者就要学会这个。
Not just the devotees, people in general.
就是中国人就需要这个味道，就需要halva的这种味道，就是让你陶醉的这种味道，让他们就是。难以忘怀的味道。
Believe me, I did many functions in China with the people who were so fussy about food, and I cooked halva, and I looked at their eyes and their faces change on the spot. They became instantly addicted.
我们就是在中国做了很多的活动，那有一些活动，比如说一些讲座呀，或者说一些。烹饪的那个这种工艺课呀，就是各种各样的人都来，都是中国人，他们从来没有接触过 prasadam， 但是每一次当他们品尝到 halva 的时候，你就可以当场就看到他们的脸的表情就变了，眼睛也变了，就是那一口就让他们上了瘾，就是 halva 这个东西非常的特别。
And I mentioned to Krishna Premi thatHow did Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was cooking for the devotees at the beginning, and he was cooking for people who were heavy meat eaters, how did Prabhupada manage to capture the people just by cooking halva?
就是然后我们就分析这个事情来着，就是当初的时候释迦牟尼佛到西方传教的时候，他一开始是亲自下厨，而且那些西方人都是从小就是吃肉吃得非常凶的，那他怎么用他的这个烹饪的这个手艺，这些 prasadam 就深深地吸引了他们呢？他用了这个 halava， 就这个 halava 是没有人能够拒绝的，每个人都非常的喜欢。
You gotta understand that so many people came, including those who are today big gurus, came and became devotees just by taking halava.
就是很多人就是因为这口 halava， 包括现在很多的这个如雷贯耳的这些大咕噜们，他们都是因为吃了这个 halava 所以加入的奉献者。
Next time you see Giridhari Swami, you tell him, you said I said that. You tell him, Giridhari Maharaj, can you please cook halava for us? Because he is expert.
下一次你见到 Giridhari Swami 的时候，可以发出这样的请求，而且你可以说是 Radha Chandra。刚才不说的，您能不能为我们做一个哈拉瓦？你要知道他是做哈拉瓦的专家，很精湛。Okay, so following with the previous question, 就小小仆人又继续问说，我们应该怎样学习做素食？到哪里能参加素食学习班，提高做素食的能力 ？How can we learn vegetarian cooking? Where can we? Is there any vegetarian courses? Where we can learn from, and how to improve our ability in vegetarian cooking.
Join the group of Yogi Mata. We are working on this.
现在我们奉献者有一个群，这个群就是说都愿意去在 prasadam 的这方面去做努力的，或者是感兴趣的，或者是真的要投入到prasadam 的这个服务当中的，有这样的一个群，这个群主要的这个组织者是那个 Yogi Mata Mataji， 你也可以加入这个群，然后我们目前的话是每个星期都有一次课，在慢慢的推进的这个过程当中。
I also wanted to mention something important.
那这里还有一个非常重要的。
When the devotees began to establish the temple in Hong Kong.
当奉献者在那个香港开了这个庙的时候
，they begin by thinking we're going to make sweet rice, puris, halva, and sabji.
一开始的时候想的就是我们要做印度菜，这个就是比如说印度甜品啊，然后甜奶饭呀、啊，然后还有印度菜，像那种烩蔬菜，这个 sabji 啊，还有 halva 呀、啊，还有 puri 炸薄饼啊，就觉得我们做这些就可以了。
And they realized that very few people were coming.
然后他们就。后来就发现呢，很少有人来。
So they discuss the situation with Giridhari Swami and Tamal Krishna Goswami.
然后呢，最早的那些奉献者就跟 Tamal Krishna Goswami 和 Giridhari Maharaj 就讨论了这个问题。
And they realize that we have to cook two people's taste.
然后他们就意识到一个问题，我们要根据人们的口味来做烹饪。
They said we have to cook Chinese.
我们得做中国菜。
But.
但是呢。
They decided to cook.Excellent Chinese cuisine.
但是他们呢，就准备要一定要把这个中国的这个普沙的要做到什么登峰造极的这种境界。
Not boiled corn and green leaves floating in a soup.
不是说
with radish,
只是
and floating eyeballs.
不是只是那个煮一下这个玉米就完事儿了，或者说呢，放点青菜到水里面去煮成这个汤。不能只是那么太简单了，吸引不了人。
They had some expert Chinese cooks.
You mean the temple devotees? 在那个香港的庙里面有一些奉献者，可以说是厨艺大师。
So from that point on, the temple was packed every Sunday.
然后从那天开始，每到那个星期天的时候呢，这个庙里都挤满了人。
And they still, you know, serve the halva because that's the.
那与此同时，他们仍然还是在派着印度特色的，或者是这种哈拉瓦这样的一些甜品，因为这个是非常特别的，也是我们的一个像品牌一样这种标志性的这个 prasadam， 谁都喜欢的。
When people are sick, they go to a nutritionist to see what is the proper diet. We have to become expert. We can't take it for granted that everybody will accept this and everybody will accept that. No. They don't like it, let's try something else. They don't like it, let's try something else. At some point, we're going to find the dishes that is going to capture people's mind, capture their senses, and capture their hearts.
就是说，一个营养不良的一个人，他就会去找这个营养师去咨询，然后去调配自己的饮食。我们呢，不能是这个想当然的觉得啊，我们做的这些东西别人一定会喜欢，我们做什么他们就吃什么，别人那么费事儿了，不能这样子。我们要根据别人的口味、别人的需要，肯定有些东西是他们喜欢。关的，然后他们不喜欢的，我们根据他们的喜好来调整我们的烹饪，我们的这个服务，然后我们要做得越来越好，越来越好，一直到做到非常精湛。那最后呢，我们的这个 prasada 呢就可以抓住他们的身体，抓住他们的感官，抓住他们的心灵。
This is our mission.
这个是我们的一个使命。
The books, the Mahamantra.And the prasadam, whichever works best.
我们的书籍，我们的 Mahamantra 就是圣灵，还有这个 prasadam， 这个是我们的三大武器。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 的主持。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees and your good questions.
感谢所有的奉献者的聆听以及你们提出的好问题。
Remember, next Wednesday is Sri Krishna Janmashtami. You should start making plans how you're going to celebrate.
要记得就是下礼拜三是Krishna Janmashtami， 现在就可以开始计划了。到那一天，你要做一些什么样的大餐
？And we will have a special class on Wednesday morning.
然后我们礼拜三的早上会有一个特殊的课。Is the Indian time and the Beijing time the same in terms of the festival time?
I'll find out. But anyway, we'll have a special class.
我们还是要，你们还是要再确认一下你们的日历，有可能印度的这个节日时间跟北京的这个时间有出入，像。这个 Baladev Purnima 就不一样，所以大家再确认一下这个时间，具体是落在下一周的哪一天。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Keshadesh Yatra Ki Jai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Lo。
在昆特之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的水天论经是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束。我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章奉爱服务的程序这个第117个时节。感谢大家的聆听，祝大家度过一个充满着 Krishna 智觉的一天。 Hare Krishna。